Let's reach up and touch the Lord. Come on in. Let's reach up and take His hand. Oh, reach on up above those clouds. Reach on up and feel His power. Reach on up and let the Holy Ghost come in. Well, come on in. Let's reach up and touch the Lord. Oh, come on in. Let's reach up and take His hand. Oh, reach on up above those clouds. Reach on up. Reach on up and let the Holy Ghost come in. Well, come on in. Let's reach up and touch the Lord. Oh, come on in. Let's reach up and take His hand. Oh, reach on up above those clouds. Reach on up and feel His power. Reach on up and let the Holy Ghost come in. Well, come on in. Let's reach up and touch the Lord. Reach on up above those clouds. Reach on up and feel His power. Reach on up and let the Holy Ghost come in. Well, come on in. Let's reach up and touch the Lord. Oh, come on in. Let's reach up and take His hand. Oh, reach on up above those clouds. Reach on up and feel His power. Reach on up and let the Holy Ghost. Lord. Oh, come on in. Let's reach up and take His hand. Oh, reach on up above those clouds. Reach on up and feel His power. Reach on up and let the Holy Ghost come in. Well, come on in. Let's reach up and touch the Lord. Above those clouds, reach on up and feel.
Lord. Oh, God. Help us, Lord. Help us. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Praise, praise, praise. Praise the Lord. Let the people of the Lord praise His name. Oh, give Him the glory. Ever tell the story. Oh, lift up our hearts and praise the Lord. Oh, praise, praise, praise. Praise the Lord. Let the people of the Lord praise His name.
You know, who would have ever thought that I would have been born, received half of mine, you know, but, and come into existence and live in this time. But above all that, was able to feel the sweet Holy Ghost, you know. And to be in a time where you can see God moving in each of our lives. You know, things happen to us. And sometimes things happen to us that we don't really understand why. But, you know, God has control. You know, we think, you know, why did this happen to me? And sometimes things happen to us through our own devices, and we get wrapped up in them. But, you know, if we praise God and we look to Him for our source of strength and if we give Him all the glory. You know, I was thinking the other day, I thought, you know, I am really fortunate that you have allowed me to see the body of Christ. I really am. I appreciate it so very much. I do. I see things in, I'm 62 years old, and I had the opportunity to come into this. You know, I was already in my late, never how old I was, I don't remember, but I do remember that was a turning point in my life. You know, I knew God in a measure, and as a child, I had the opportunity to feel Him, but not like this. You know, not like the body of Christ has dealt in my life. It goes deeper than that. It goes further than just saying, well, there is a God, because I always believed that there was a God, but, you know, you can believe Him and still be just as a big sinner. You can believe in God, but you can still be in the world. But, you know, I'm glad God got a hold of me and trying to help me to turn my life around and my family. You know, I think Brother Smith was talking about one time, you know, you take a bunch of cattle and they start stampeding and they're running and they're heading towards a cliff. If you can just get them cows just to turn a little bit, just a little bit, you know, and just a little bit to turn, and then you can get them to turn around. I think that's what God done for me. I was on the path of destruction, and He saw fit to look down and in my life and said, you know, I think I'm going to crank right here and right here a little bit and do a little turning and a twisting and get him by his ear and twist him a little bit. I'll get him to turn. You know, sometimes you do have to take an old cow and twist his tail to get him to jump in the chute sometimes, because they will fight. Some of them are pretty ornery. Matter of fact, they're real ornery. I remember one time Brother Smith sent us over to a place, Al and I, and they was three, I don't remember if they was heifers, they was, you know, them Brahma cows. And you know, that fence was tall. We went over there to get them. We was going to try to put them up, and them sorry outfits, boy, you walk out there and they'd look at you and way they would go. And they can run faster than I can. They can run. You know, I don't know. One of them jumped the fence, went across this other guy's place, jumped that fence, and I don't know if it ever stopped or not. I don't know if we ever got that cow or not. And sometimes we're like that. We don't know when God is trying to do us good. And we jump the fence. And sometimes we get hung up in it. And then he has to come over and gently take us out. But I'm glad he did. I'm glad God had the ability to walk over and untangle me out of that barbed wire fence and get me back and put me back up and start feeding me and let me feel that sweet spirit. I mean, that means it all, doesn't it? When you feel something down inside here and you feel, you know God loves you. When he gets plumb down inside your very being and you know that there is something real about the spirit that I feel, that you know that God loves me. You know, I mean, everything that he has done for us is because he loves us. Because he wants to help us to become part of his great family. He wants us to become part of that. And you know, I really do. I wish that I could turn back time and become about, you know, when I was 12, I didn't have a lick of sense, so I'd want to go a little bit further, you know. And when I was about 14 or 15, I thought, my dad don't know nothing. And about 16 or 17, I was about the same way. And when I was about 20, well, I was still, but I began to realize my dad was pretty smart. I began to realize that. So about that area is where I'd like to be when I come into the body of Christ. And then you could look around and see how this body is working and how the things that God has done and the things that he's going to do. You see, that's the thing of it. We can look at this body and see, well, this ain't the end of it. It's just beginning. It's not only just beginning at the end of my life, but the beginning of everybody else's life is starting up. And those people back there that has give their all just for the position that we're at right now, they have give up everything to benefit me. And so I know I feel like I'm just rambling, but the what I feel down in my heart is that I appreciate God bringing me this way. I really do. I appreciate him, and I praise him for it. I know sometimes I don't do it enough. I don't praise God enough for it, but I do want to let him know that I appreciate God and his almighty power and that sweet Holy Ghost that I feel. I appreciate that. I really do. I appreciate that. And I want the world to know that. To know that I'm here now because it's not because I've got to be here, but it's because I love God. And I love the things that he has done for me. That's why I'm here. I appreciate it. You know, my sister Brian was talking about singing the song this morning. He's here because, I can't remember the song, but it was because we loved him. We loved him. And that's why I'm here, is because I love God. I love God. And I love the things that I feel and the spirit that I feel. I appreciate that. Praise God. I love God for that.
And I thank God that He has filled me with the sweet Holy Ghost. I appreciate that. And I appreciate the love that God has shown to me because of the mischievous and the devilish things that I've done, but He still loves me. That He's picked me up and He said, "Son, I still love you and I want to help you." Praise God! Praise God! If you're here, sitting here, and you feel the Spirit of God, praise Him! Because that's what, it's not because He requires that and He requires us to shout out that we love Him, but it's because we ourselves appreciate the love that He has shown us. I do. I wish I was younger and 25 or 30 years old and I could sit in on this and just see the progress of the body of Christ. Because I know that it's going through this world today and it's picking up everybody that loves God. If you love God and you're here, aren't we fortunate? Aren't we fortunate to be sitting under a ministry and a body of Christ that all they want to do is just help us and to love us? I appreciate that. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise His wonderful name. Hallelujah. Shandalakatashia. You know, I do. I appreciate the Lord. And it seems like that's all I can say. But, you know, sometimes it's enough. You know, we can get excited. We can get excited. I think about the only thing I can do is holler now. I can't hardly move around. But still, at the same time, you know, when you feel like running, run. When you feel like jumping, jump. And when you feel like shouting, shout. I enjoyed what Brother Pryor had to say today. He inspired me. And I wanted to inspire me for the rest of my time. I appreciate God. And these wonderful songs that He's been singing, they touched my heart today. They hit me close. And I got to thinking, Lord, you know, you're sitting there and you just kind of look in a daze. And I thought, you know, what was it him that said, Brother Pryor said, we praise God not because of ourselves, but because of somebody else that's sitting over there that needs it. And that's exactly right. You praise God because you're trying to help that brother or sister to get closer to God. And so if we raise your hands because if you love God. It's not because of you, but it's because of your brother or your sister. It's because of what they need, because of their help. And man, I don't want to get excited. I mean, you know, get to sit thinking I'm being bossy. No, that's not the case. It's because of the love of God that I feel in my soul today. I want that lit up. You know, I want that to be lit up. I want it lit up to light it. Let, you know, and let people see it. Let people feel it. You know, if you don't feel it, your feeler's broke. Do you feel it? I feel it. I feel it. I feel it. I praise God. And I love Him. I love Him. I may be a, like I said before, a ringtail cooter tomorrow, but today I love Him. Today I love Him. And let Him work on me. He's still working on me. He's still working on me. Until the day I die, God will be working on me. But I got to yield to that. We've got to yield to it. No matter how old, no matter how young we are, let God work on you. Let Him work on you. If you feel that Spirit, let Him work on you. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, get it. Seek for it. It's real. It's real. If you hadn't spoken tongues in a while, look for it. Dig it out. Let God fill your soul with. That's the only thing that's where life is at. I'll get down from here. But I feel God, don't you? I appreciate Him. Oh, God, help me, Lord. Help me. Not you, but help me. I need the help. I need help. And that's the only place where we can get it is through God's Spirit. Anyway, I just wanted to let Him know I appreciate Him. I'll get down from here and get out of the way. But I'm thankful for God. I am. Pray for us. We need Him. We need your prayers. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Went home and I carried on, still remembering I just so overwhelmed that God cared enough to let me feel His Spirit, because there's been times that I sat here and I just went with Him through the motions and trying to feel Him, and I couldn't. I felt like so far away, like He was so far away. But it wasn't Him. He was here all the time. It was me that I wasn't pressing. I wasn't pressing on. But I've learned to do that more. And I was just thinking about something. I want to get so much of God in me that when a mosquito bites me, he go off singing, "There is power in the blood." And I just feel so, so, so blessed to be a part of these people.
Mentioned, I think it was in 1983 when Brother Cherry and Sandy, was it 86? All right. They moved to Midland from Oklahoma. That must have just been the year before we moved out of there. Couldn't remember what. I know we went to Midland in 83. That's how it was. But they visited with Doug and Yvonne enough that something about all this got their attention, and so they moved all the way to Midland. Then they moved from Midland to Springfield with us. And it's been 27 years ago, Brother York. And when he was 40 years old, I guess you must have been 33 or 34 then, huh? 27, 35. About 5 years after he moved to Springfield, well, he had a heart attack. And the doctors came out of the surgery room and told us, they said, "We've never seen a man's heart at his age in any worse condition. His heart's covered with plaque." They said, "This man won't live to be very old." Said he had a four-way bypass at that first surgery. And then they gave him another one. When was that? How many years was after that, Sister Sandra, when he got his second one? I can't remember exactly, but I think it was like 10 or 12 years later that he had the second surgery. They said he'd have one in 6 or 7 years, but he fooled them. And then he had after he'd moved here, he's had a stent put in. But he's 62 years old and he's still going. That's to show you what God can do and what God's put in his heart, a desire, a love for the body of Christ. I love God. He's so good. Sometimes he's like Brother York said, he has to kind of twist our ear to get us to go the right direction. Or sometimes I thank God even lets things be in our lives. He won't remove them, because it's like the Apostle Paul. He had a thorn in his flesh, and God wouldn't remove it. God left it there to keep him humble. Sometimes I tell the Lord, I said, "If you'd help me get past this, where you could, I don't want you to leave this here. Help me get to where I can, get past the problem that it would cause if you removed it." But God, in His wisdom, knows what He's doing, and the way he works with all of us, like Brother York was saying, it's just such a, the more you know him. That old song, quartet song, the Weatherfords used to sing. You remember them? The more I trust him, it gets sweeter as the days go by. You know, I don't know if there's anybody in here that you don't particularly like or you have something against them. But you know, we're all God's children. If they was your child, you'd love them, no matter how much you might be aggravated with them. You'd still love them. That's how God feels about people. His children, he loves us all. Sometimes when you read about, you know, I was just reading last night about Joshua before he died. I dealt with Israel to serve God. And then I was reading over in the book of Judges where they turned away from God, began to serve Baal Peor and Ashtaroth. And God still loved those people. They were his people. He'd still forgive them. He'd have to send somebody to preach to them, or he'd send somebody to whip them in a battle, or get them in a condition where they'd cry out to him again, but he'd forgive them again. I thought, God, you're so merciful. And I know, you know, I look back on my life, and I think, God, I'm not worthy of your salvation, but your grace is so great. You're so great that I don't deserve any of your goodness, you know. I mean, I guarantee you, just about any human being would have gave up on me when God didn't. God kept loving me. And even today, you know, the Lord, I just don't know anybody that's sinned an unforgivable sin yet. You know, I mean, if you're rejecting God, that's not forgivable. You know, if God deals with you and you won't repent, then he can't forgive you. But he's that merciful. If you'll turn to him, and he'll even help you with that. He'll woo you. He'll try to save you. If you've got anything he can save, if there's any way he can touch you, he'll do it. What a wonderful Savior that we're serving, and what great mercy and wisdom God has. How he reaches out. You know, and I know that, you know, I'm not preaching a message here that you, no matter what you do, God's going to forgive you. No, you've got to overcome sin. You've got to overcome the sin nature. And God will, you have to get you through that. But he'll still, anytime you, with a godly sorrow, will repent, he'll forgive you. And he won't bring those things up against you again in judgment or for judgment. But you're still going to have to get all that out of your spirit and out of your character that has, you know, got in your spirit that's wrong, it's out of balance or to some extreme one way or the other. God's going to have to get you matured to a place that you can live above this sin condition. God's going to have to transform all of us, and that takes time. Like Brother Pryor said this morning, wisdom comes by experience. And it's true, there are some experience in knowledge. You can get some experience watching somebody else. There's some things that I haven't gone through, but I saw other people go through it, and I know better than to do it. I've seen men in this body fight this ministry. That's one thing I don't do because I saw it don't pay off. You're going to get in trouble if you get off in that kind of spirit. I saw that. So I hope that I'm gaining enough wisdom, but that's still experience, like Brother Pryor said. Whether you get it by watching others or whether you get it for going through it yourself, whatever you experience in this life, it will give you direction. But what a God that's so merciful and so forgiving and start us back on a clean slate again every time we ask Him to, and that He'll let us get back in a just condition. That's, I think, this message of being just and unjust is a wonderful understanding, to know that you can just, for you to get your heart clean and clear before God, and to get in good standings with Him again, there's no better feeling. There's no better place, Brother Wallace, than to get in a place where God, you know things are right between you and Him. You feel God forgiven you. You felt His touch. You feel clean. You can feel the cleansing of the water of the Spirit of God touching your life, and the Word of God cleansing you. You can feel that. And when God touches you that way, and you know that things are, set right, Brother McGowan said, you're just. You've entered into a just place with God. And if you died right then, you'd resurrect in a just resurrection. Oh, God, I want to be just. I get unjust every once in a while. I don't like that. I don't even want to admit it. I don't want to have an injustice in my spirit or even in my thinking. But I don't want to get in a condition where if I died, it'd require an unjust resurrection. But I want a just resurrection. And so I think it's a marvelous message to understand that I can stay in a just condition if I just keep things right between me and God, and I remain faithful, upright. Righteousness, or doing right things according to the understanding God's brought me to. See, one thing for maybe a young person, some of these young people, they can be just and be in a place that God wouldn't allow me to be just in, because they're understanding it at the same level. But as they grow in God, their understanding grows, their knowledge is increased. And God requires more of them. And they won't be just if they don't come up with responding to God's truths that God reveals to them. That's another thing about being just, is just because you hear something and God quickens it to you and you know it's right. You know this is the truth. It doesn't mean that God's requiring all of that of you right then. See, God knows that it takes time for you to really get it digested. He may have revealed it to you. You may have received it. But for you to actually get it in your character, for you to actually... one of the reasons I know this is true is because I've preached messages before, but while I was preaching, I could see you got it. Different ones of you, I'd say, God touched them. They got it. When I was a little bit younger, preacher, I tried to hold you to it. But as I've got older, I've realized just because you got it don't mean that it's part of you yet. And you can't get that all in your character over. You don't go home, go to bed, and wake up, you got all that fixed. But that's got to digest. It's got to get into your understanding. It's got to get into your character. You'll have to try it out some. You'll have to... God will have to work that in. If God's working in your life, He'll begin to deal with you in certain areas. Your mind will work along those lines that God's dealing with you. If you're really a clean animal, you'll eat it again. It'll come back up. God will bring it up. The Holy Ghost, Jesus told His disciples that. This Comforter, He said, it'll remind you of the things that I've spoke to you, the Word of God that you've received. The Holy Ghost to bring it to your remembrance. What a marvelous thing. God, I don't have to remember everything. God's revealed to me. The Holy Ghost will remind me of those things. Hallelujah. And help me to chew on it again. I can tell you, there's been many times, and I know, you know, this is just home folks tonight, but there's been lots of times that I'd get down in the mullet grubs, or I'd get, you know, discouraged. I'd think about quitting. You know, can you believe that? A preacher think about giving it up. Let me tell you something. A preacher's just a human being just like everybody else. They're just a gift working in their life that they have to learn how to operate with it, work with it, and let it operate in them and yield to it. But they still have to overcome sin just like everybody else. When I'd get in those conditions, the Holy Ghost, I know it was the Holy Ghost dealing with me. Sometimes I'd be riding down the road. I'd talk to the Lord just like he's sitting in the front seat with me. Sometimes I'd tell him, I don't understand this. I don't understand why this is going on. This doesn't make sense. But then the Holy Ghost would remind me of scriptures and truths. I'd wind up with the same answer the disciples gave Jesus. Where would I go besides here? Where am I going to go to? You know, I don't want to go back in the world. I've had enough of that. I know what's out there. And then God's touched my mind about religion. My brothers and sisters, a lot of them, wonderful people out there in Christianity, in different places in Babylon. But God has called me out of that. He may not have called them yet, but he called me out. I can't be satisfied with that. Too much about her, now I know. I can't go that way anymore. So I'd come up with the same answer. God, where can I go? Too many things you've showed me. Too much I've learned about all of this. And before I'd get done, the Holy Ghost had worked me over, and I'd be settled down and say, I'm right where I belong. Hallelujah. I'm in the place where God called me. And I begin to talk to God and repent and tell him I'm sorry that I got down and out and beginning to complain and murmur and ask God to help me get it. I don't have those episodes so much anymore. Yeah, spells. I don't go off in those kind of spells very much. God's helped me with that. He's helped me to get to a place where, you know, my mind might go somewhere. I had somebody this week tell me. I kind of got tickled. They said, well, I believe in the devil. I believe in a personal devil. I said, you do? Why? They said, because there's things comes into my mind that I know I never would think of those things. Something's putting it there. I said, well, let's read a scripture over in the book of James. They said, all right. And I said, turn to James, the first chapter. And I said, let no man, I said, read this scripture with me. Let no man say when he's tempted of God. But every man is tempted when, I said, read the next of that. You read the next rest of it. When he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. I said, say that, on my own lust. I said, there's where your temptation's coming from. I said, I hate to tell you that. But those imaginations in your mind are coming from somewhere. They may be in outside sources. You may have picked it up on a bad movie or TV show or radio program. I don't know where you may have heard it. You know, I hear little kids every once in a while say something. That I think, where did they come up with that? They come up with words they could never dream of, but they heard somebody say it. TV or probably mama or daddy. It's probably where they get some of it. And, you know, but there's things that gets in our hearts and our minds that hinders us. And we've got to get purged of those things. God's got to help us. If you want to get some contentment in your heart, get some discipline in your life. It takes discipline. So set a little aside some time. Read the Word of God. Turn the television off. Limit yourself to just a few programs. Have some quiet time in your home. Pray with your family, your wife. I really appreciated Sister Rochella's testimony this morning of her praying with her family. That's a new experience for her. Didn't it touch her? God, it touched her. And she saw God was touching her family. And God was using that, you know, using that to touch that family. You don't know what God will do in that. So, anyway, you inspired me, Brother Jerry. Appreciate his testimony in his life. He's been faithful these nearly 30 years, coming up on 30 years, you've working on this. And it's got a hold of him. He's got a hook in his jaw. He can't get away from this, just like all the rest of us. Thank God that God saw us one day and said, I want you. I'm calling you to the highest calling, the highest place in the city. The preacher said in the book of Proverbs, said the wisdom cries in the highest place of the city. That's the body of Jesus Christ. This is the highest place you can find. It's the highest mountain that there is in the earth. God's called us to the highest calling. There's no other place you can find what God's working on here. And it's not because you're better than anybody else, but it's because he's going to have a people. And his grace reached down and touched you. It reached you. Hallelujah. Reached me. God touched my life with this. Somehow I became a recipient. God some way let me hear. Let me be a part. And he's still letting me be here. Hallelujah. He hadn't opened the door and said, out with you. But he just keeps saying, come on. Come on, you can make it. Hallelujah. I believe tonight I can make it. I still have faith in the power of God that can help me make it. Hallelujah. So I'm encouraged today with what God's doing in your lives, what he's done in mine. I still want to go. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Bless the Lord. I'll get out of here and behave myself.
I certainly appreciate being here tonight and feeling this wonderful covering that we have, and knowing that we have an opportunity in God that so many out in the world don't have. I want to give a report of my family. Since Brother Smith and you folks have moved down here, through the years, there's been a lot of changes in this church. There was never, ever a time that we missed church or canceled church because of bad weather. And my son is definitely aware of that. And he's told his mom and I on more than one occasion. He works for the railroad, and they have safety meetings every morning before they start their shift. Well, it's the first thing they do when they start their shift. That's what it is. He come home one day, you know, after his shift was over, he walked through the door. He said, Mom, Dad, I want you to hear what I'm fixing to say. I said, okay. He said, I want y'all to start watching how y'all walk. I thought, well, I thought I'd been doing that, you know, but I didn't say anything. He said, it is a proven fact that, I don't remember what the percentage was, but it's well on up above 70 or 75%, maybe more than that, that when an older person falls and breaks a hip, they will not live the first year afterwards. And he said, I want you to know that I don't want you falling and breaking a hip. I looked at him and said, son, I said, I don't intend to do that. He said, yeah, but Daddy said, I'm stressing it to you. I want you to start watching how you do things. Well, anyway, we took that to heart. We started watching a little closer. And anyway, over the last few years, we've had some real bad weather here, and we've gotten phone calls, you know, saying we've bypassed the service due to the weather conditions. And then on other occasions, Brother Smith has let us out of services, and, you know, we'd show up at home early, and Randy would ask us, Dad, what are y'all doing home? I said, well, Brother Smith was concerned about our conditions as far as traveling in bad weather, so I said he let us out for the service tonight. He picked up on those things. He said, I don't remember ever seeing anybody dismiss service because of the weather. He said, apparently this man must be a little more conscientious about the people. He's concerned about, you know, your exposure. And he said, I appreciate that. And I passed that information on to Brother Linger, or Brother Smith, each time that it come up. Here the other day, Brother Smith made a statement to me that stirred my heart. He said, Brother McGowan, he said, there may be a possibility that God is dealing with your son. Now, you know, to a lot of people that doesn't mean a whole lot, but to me it does. Because I am up in years, for one thing, and I would really like to have some offspring in my lineage attending this church. They've been here through the years. They were born here. They were dedicated here, received the Holy Ghost here, and my son especially. Just, that big old tall drink of water that we've been bringing to service on Wednesday nights is my grandson. It's my son's son. Oldest son. And then I'll tell you the rest of the story concerning my son before I change subject here. Brother Smith made that statement to me one night. I thought, Lord, it would be a wonderful thing if you could talk to his heart, bring him back among your people. And it wasn't a week after that we went home one night after service, and guess what the subject on the floor was at home? Revelations. He said, Dad, he said, I never could understand how it was that there'd just be a few people that would make it. He said, I couldn't get that through my mind, even though I was just a kid in church. He said, there was something about just a handful of people making it. He said, there's something about that just didn't fit in my mind. I said, let me rest, give you some rest. I said, it's going to be a lot more people than that than makes the bride of Christ. He said, now that makes some sense to me. I'm glad to hear that. Well, our grandson's been coming to service with us on Wednesday nights. Last Wednesday night, he's sitting there by his grandma, and things was going on in service like you folks are aware of, and he started laughing. My wife looked at him and said, what are you laughing about? He said, I don't know, but I can't stop. I thought, Lord, there may be somebody on down the line here. And besides that, we want to add to the church, don't we? We really do. Not just my grandson, but yours as well, if you've got some out there. I believe that God's going to help us. You know, he's going to touch our hearts and touch our lives. And the fact that we're here lets us to know that he's already touched our hearts, touched our lives, and I'm like Brother Smith. I believe I can make it. I believe I can make it. I believe I've got a chance, Brother Smith. Hallelujah. I believe that God called us to help us make it. I believe that. I really do believe it. Woo, my Lord. When we realize, you know, that we, one of my concepts of God was this, is that he was sitting here on this throne. He had this big, long stick in his hand, and if I stepped across the line, he'd reach over and whack me on the head. Isn't that horrible to have that kind of concept of God? Of course, if you knew how honored I was, I wasn't as honored as some of you, but I was honored enough. and my dad was kind of that way. You know, my dad, he kept an eye on us. And I remember him telling us different times, me especially. I was the oldest son he had, and he'd tell me to do certain things or not to do them, and he wanted it done a certain way, and I'd do it another way. He had a way of checking on me that was unique. It wasn't that he sent somebody to keep an eye on you or to oversee you or to, you know, it wasn't the way he done it. He said, well, let's see. I told him to do this. If I was his age, I would do it this way. And there was always a little telltale sign that would give me away. You know, if you don't do it a certain way, he knew, you know. And so that's the way he kept up with us. He just knew that if I was this age, this is what I would do. And all he had to do was check certain things, and it showed up. Well, I done my son the same way, so, you know. But here we are. You know, God, I found out that God is not, he doesn't have to carry a big stick. Point one. And point two, I was already condemned. I was lost. I didn't have any hope until he come along. And when he come along and touched my life, he made a difference in my life. And the thing that I'd like to get to the place where I can do is convey to other people that, look, Jesus can make a difference in your life. He can do something for you that nothing in this world can do for you. You can't find it out there. It's in here. He said, I'm come that you might have life. Woo! We've got life tonight. Hallelujah! You may think, well, I don't want to act like Brother Wayne. You don't have to act like me. You really don't. But it seems like that I have to, because I was like Brother Pryor said today. Well, was it, some people are thinkers? Now, that lets me out. And then some people are emotional. I'm kind of along that line. And then what was the other one? Physical. And I'm too old to be physical. You know, once upon a time, boy, I could jump and run with the best of them. Can't do that anymore. Done got too fat and too old. I can tell you on the inside, I'm jumping up and down because of what Jesus has done for me. And the opportunity that I have. And some people might think, well, what happens when you pass away? I've still got a hope, Brother Smith. I'm still in the book. My name has been written down in the book of life. Hallelujah. And he remembers me. That's what Job said, oh, that thou wouldest remember me. I think God remembered Job, and I believe he'll remember me. If I didn't have that hope, don't you know that we of all men would be most miserable? We would be miserable if we were serving a God that couldn't remember us. But tonight I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that the God that I'm serving can remember me. Hallelujah. I want to serve him with all that I've got. Every ounce of every strength of all that I have left in me, I want to serve him. I want to give to him. If you can't do that, I feel sorry for you, but I tell you, he's worth it. He's worth it. Living for Jesus is worth it. Hallelujah. If you think this life is good, if you think now, you know, you don't want to go out and commit suicide, do you? Surely not. Look, we're living a good life. We're having a good time. We're enjoying what we're enjoying here. But I believe there's something coming on up the road for God's people that's going to be so much better than this. So much better than this. How would you like to live in a world where there's no sin? None. People don't even think evil. Woo, my Lord. You know, I can remember when, still do it sometimes, when locks wasn't even a thing we thought about on our house. We didn't lock our doors. Still don't, in most cases, out there where I live, right now. You can walk up there at midnight, open the door, and walk right in. You know, and you say, well, that's dangerous. It is dangerous. But by the same token, we've still got enough righteousness in my neighborhood at this point. I'm not going to say that won't change. Still got enough righteousness at this point that most people want to do it right. They don't want to just take advantage of their neighbors. I realize that there's some areas, there's areas in this city that I wouldn't want to walk in broad daylight. You know, much less leave an unlocked door at night. But there's a world coming where there won't be any sin. Oh, Lord, won't that be wonderful? You can live all day long and not have to sin. It's an idea that a lot of people have in their minds. Well, I have to sin because somebody told me that, you know, it's okay to just sin a little bit. But I think that he that saved me and brought me to where I'm at tonight, oh, thank God, he's able to take me across the finish line. I'll be just like Paul. He said, I've finished my course. I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. Now there's laid up for me a crown of life. My Lord, what? Why can't we get excited about that? Oh, hallelujah. I'm sorry if it bothers you, but I can't hardly help myself when I think about the opportunity that he's given me. Hallelujah. I know there's life, eternal life ahead for me. Hallelujah. Woo. Oh, hallelujah. Russ Smith says he feels like preaching. I'm telling you what, I'm glad he does. I'm thankful for what we have here. I'm thankful for what God's allowed us to be a part of. I'm thankful to be a part of this and a part of you. There's not a one of you that you're not a part of our lives. Don't feel like that you're backward or bashful or that you're not a part. Because you are. You're thought of on a daily basis. Hallelujah. When you get sick and you don't show up, we think about you. We wonder where you at. What's wrong? What's bothering him? Why can't he be here with us? Don't you want to be a part of that kind of a family that you're missed when you're not there? You know, I hate to miss. Sister Crow said I hate to miss. But I really do enjoy hearing the sound. Brother Wayne, we missed you the other night when you was out of service. Hopefully you got over whatever it was that's ailing you. And you're back among us again. Look, we've got a great opportunity. A great opportunity. A great opportunity to be a part of what God's doing in here today. I want to take advantage of it and be a part.
Baby!
It's been a good day already. Appreciate the things that I've heard today, Brother Pryor's words this morning, and then the testimonies. Weren't they good? And even Sister Inez coming, you know, out of her shell just a little bit. Sharing with us the things that's going on in her life. And I appreciated that. We're members in particular, but we're members one of another. We're part of each other. And Jesus, he worked that relationship out with his disciples. He called them friends. He didn't just look at them as being servants, but he opened himself up to them. He talked plainly with them when he got along with them. He got intimate with them. I'm talking about his person, his mind. He shared his self with them, his heart, his feelings, his sentiments. They could feel that. That's something I'm sure that worked on those men when he's gone. I think it was John said that we know no man. Is he the one that said that? No man after the flesh, yet we knew Christ after the flesh. But so they knew him in a special way. And I think we, you know, the Lord, we can't know everybody in the body of Christ, but we can with those that God's got us connected, where our connection is. Whatever our hookup or link to the body is, whatever joint we're in. And of the body, I'm meaning. And so I just know that God wants us to care about each other and have feelings for each other. And how could I ever mourn or weep or cry for you or rejoice with you if I didn't know what was going on in your life? And open ourselves up for both friendship and hurt. You gotta open your heart up. You gotta be careful not to let. We were singing that song this morning about. Seemed like the Lord was touching that song. Wounded lives, wounded lives, are what why he died, and seemed like God was touching that. And we've all, in fact, we're living in a society that I don't know if you can come up in this society without being wounded. Somewhere you get wounded because there are just so many problems in this life. There's so many problems in people's lives that don't have God, and there's so many people that don't have God that we're connected with. Even the people of God will wound you. You know, Jesus, it wasn't somebody outside that was his big test. It was Judas. It's his own friend, his guide, one of the men that he looked to. He saw something in Judas's life that felt like he's the one that needs to carry the money for us and take care of the books for this little church this little traveling church that we have. He had confidence in him. He saw something in him that he felt like he could do better than any of the rest of them. But yet he turned on him, and he was hurt by that. You have to open yourself up. Sister Smith and I, in the ministry, you'll get wounded. You get wounded anyway, whether you're pastoring or in the ministry or just a saint, you're still going to get wounded. Some of our wounds are self-infliction, self-inflicted. But some of your friends will let you down. But they're still your brothers and sisters, many of them. You still have to open yourself up for hurt. You can't build a, what does that scripture say about a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Huh? A walled city. Something about bars. The fences are like, you know, putting up bars. I can't get the scripture right now in my mind clearly, but there it is. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like bars of a castle. See, you strive with your wounds or offenses. Brother Begley, I heard him teach on that scripture one time, and he called it being off-ended. And he stood on his head, but he got up, he got down on the platform and stood up on his head with his feet sticking up in the air. All of the things in his pockets started falling out. He said, "I'm off-ended right now," to get his point across. Well, you can get off-ended in here. You can, and rightfully so, people can do things that sometimes you can get offended at things that didn't even happen. You just thought they happened. You did, you know, somebody didn't speak to you. You walked right by me and didn't even speak to me. Well, sometimes, you know, I've had people say that. In fact, I've had people do that to me, but I found out that their head was in a cloud. They was thinking about something else. They didn't even notice me when they went by. They wasn't shunning me or didn't have a thing to do with me. It's them. They were occupied. Their mind was occupied on something else. But I thought, you know, well, sorry so-and-so, treat me like that. So then, you know, then I wasn't careful, next time I'd seen him, I'd walk around him, go the other way. I think, I don't be shunned by you anymore. And then they're thinking, what's wrong with that guy? He's treating me this way, shunning me like he's doing. Before long, you got something going on. You're both offended, and you don't even know why. And it didn't amount to, it didn't even exist to begin with. Well, but you can, how does that say that again? Can you put that back up there? A brother, that's it, a brother offended. It's harder to be one than a strong city. You can build your contentions are like bars of a castle. You finally put up these bars and protections to keep yourself from getting hurt anymore. I know one time my wife, you know, pastors' wives are they live in a glass house, and they get a lot of advice from other people in the church. A lot of times I've had a lot of people would like to tell me off, but they tell my wife off. They want her to tell me what they said, but they didn't want to tell me. So she got the flack from it, you know, and she didn't like people. I can tell you right now, my wife loves me, and she don't like for you to be running me down. Not to her. You're running me down to somebody else. Don't be talking about me to her. You can get her stirred up that way. And but I remember there was a time that I saw that she had built some defenses, you know, where she wasn't opening herself up to get hurt anymore. I finally told her, I said, honey, you're going to have to take all that down. You've got to let yourself, you've got to let people get close to you. You've got to let people get to know you. You've got to let people hurt you. If they're going to hurt you, you got to let them do it. It's their problem if they're doing it. You'll have to learn how to bear with that. You have to be like that much like Jesus. You got to put your life out there before people and let them treat you however they're going to treat you. But you got to love them anyway. And you can't build something up to protect yourself against the hurts of others. I've made this statement before, and I really don't like the statement. It needs all kinds of adjustment and further balance and explanation. But I've said if you can be hurt, you need to get hurt. Now, that don't sound right. It don't sound right at all. And it takes a lot of explaining, or at least some explanation. But I just by that statement, I just mean that it'll take maturity in you. You're going to get hurt if you let your life, if you open your life up to others and become a part of their life, let them become a part of you. You know, the Bible said how did Paul say it in Ephesians? Fitly joined together, compacted. We got to be compacted. That means there ain't much space for anything else. I got to get so close to you. How are you going to rule this world if I can't trust you and you can't trust me? How are we going to rule together if we can't get compacted? We got to get pressed together. God's got to mesh us together where we understand one another, but we love one another. We love one another more than our faults. More than anything else, we realize what's happening in our lives, God's doing it. And we're willing to stick together until He gets it all worked out. And let Him compact us. Let us go through the hurts that it's going to take to get us to the place that God can reshape us. We have to be reshaped. Brother Pryor used that spoon analogy this morning of feeding one another, that just trying to get the point across that we've got to learn how to serve one another. This is not about me. It's about me until I finally get the revelation that it's really about you. It's about my caring for you. The prophet said, saviors will come up on the Mount Zion. God's raising up saviors in this to help us and to save us. And it's not, you know, I was thinking my brother McGowan was talking, it's not, it starts out with us getting in Christ. When I got in here, I got in Christ. I got in His body. I got in His His order. I came into His kingdom. He added me to the kingdom. I got in Christ. What He's been working on ever since I got in Him is He's been working on Him getting in me. Me, Him, Christ in you. The hope of glory, the Bible said. Paul said that. That, in fact, let's read that. It's in Colossians, the first chapter of Colossians. And I'm not going to preach you a long message. I'm just going to give you something to chew on before you go to bed and, you know, take home with you. Verse 23 said, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. That's back there. We haven't got that job completed in the end of this world yet, but he was talking back there in that world. They carried that into that whole known world back there. Whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now it's made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So, we're all in Christ. I was thinking about that scripture. We were talking about the resurrection of the just. In 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul was telling that young Thessalonian church that, I don't want you to be ignorant of this, that if you die, you know, he was saying, if you die, you want to turn over there to 1 Thessalonians 4, I'll just read it real quick, not going to get in on any in depth, but just to make the point. I think it's around the, is it the 11th verse or 13th? But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, or those that are dead, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. In other words, people that die that's not in Christ don't have any hope. But people that die in Christ, he didn't want them to be ignorant of that. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. If you're in this, you're in Jesus. You're in Christ. And you can be graveyard dead in Christ. You can die, but when you die, you can still be in Christ. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And God gets ready to do this great work in the end of this world that he's working on and called us to be a part of this great work. That he's called us, this same purpose that he called Paul for. See, he didn't just call Paul to all these things that he was saying, God called me for you, to do this for you, so that you could get this, what God's given me. Everybody that was under his ministry, when they got it, they were called to do what he was calling, to let everybody that they know that they've got connections with to realize God's called me to help you. God wants me. This is not about me. Y'all realize we're living in a me society. It's all about me. I go to work. I'm on the job to make me a living, me and mine. And I don't have time for you. This society's put this on us. We don't have time, hardly. I don't know if they're right. They say, I read an article the other day, some of you may have read it, where they're saying that Facebook will phase out in another 10 years. And it won't even be it'll just finally fizzle out. People will get sick of it. They kind of likened it unto a disease. They said that diseases just runs a gamut, just runs so far, and then it finally ends. Well, I thought, I don't know. I'm not sure you can get rid of this social media deal. It may not be called Facebook, but they're going to have something. I don't know. Yeah, it may get worse, but I don't know if it can get too much worse. Everybody's head stuck in their phone, you know. I worry about, I've tried to bring my iPad so y'all at least know that I'm not texting and reading emails or playing a game on my phone. I'm generally on my Bible. I'm trying to keep up. I'm searching scriptures and reading my Bible, but I worry sometimes that y'all think, you know, I'm playing tip-tat-toe or some of them some kind of deal. I can't remember all of them. I don't have very many that stuff. But you'd think I could remember that. What's the name of that candy game? Candy Crush. Yeah, I just want to keep up with y'all. I don't want to be out of the loop. Candy Crush. Yeah, I don't even have Candy Crush on my phone anymore. I had it, but I just got tired of hooking little wieners together and jelly beans and whatever, all them little things together, you know. And when I got done, I thought, what did I do? What did I get out of this? Just kill some time. Well, there's nothing wrong with killing a little time. But what I'm trying to tell you is we don't have a whole lot of time, they don't have a lot of working in us anymore for others. What we can do for others. Brother Durham, you need to work on us on that. See, Brother Durham's he's a melancholy. And melancholies suffer from, what is it y'all suffer from? Depression. He's not depressed right now, but they suffer from depression. But Brother Durham learned a long time ago, and he's gave us lessons on it, that the best way to get out of depression is to start doing stuff for other people. You get down and depressed, just jump up out of your chair and say, I'm going to go to my brother and tell his yard for him. Hallelujah. I'm going to go over and pick up, saw that tree up that he's got laying in his front yard. And, you know, and you'll get to feeling good about yourself. You'll get undepressed. Whatever. How's that? What's the word for undepressed? What is it? Encourage somebody. Anyway, God's working something in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. God, oh God, help us get what He had in His life. He had it, the love of God. I don't know much about angels or celestial beings. And even though He was a creature created by God, He had a love. Before He left heaven, He had enough love to leave and take on this task. It must have been somewhat, I don't know if He was fearful about it. Looked like He'd be, you know, it was a whole uncharted territory for Him to leave His place in heaven and come here. Somehow the love of God, His Father, got passed on to Him. He loved righteousness and loved this creation. After all, God let Him create it. You know, that's part of God's wisdom. Think about it. God let him create it. Then he said, now you go save them. You go save them. God, you know, that was his children. He created them. God let him have a feeling about that. Worked with them. By the way, Jesus is the God of most Old Testament scriptures. Where you're reading about God, that's Jesus working with the people of Israel. And even in the antediluvian world, it was God working through his son to bring about his plan. And so, and Christ, for us to get some of that in us, that he came here, that would die for us. He gave his life and had such a balance of righteousness in his life. I still want that. I still want God to keep working that in my life. I know I still have, I'm asking God, help me get that fixed in my life where I care more about you. Would you like to care more about me than you do yourself? I'd like for you to. But I really would like to care more about you than I care about myself. I know that's the right spirit. That's really what I would really like to for God to accomplish. I can't do that, but Jesus can accomplish that in me if I'll let him. This is what Brother York was talking about here tonight, that we sit in here and God works things in each one of our lives and we share it and it touches one another and God starts working something in my life that he's fixed in yours. And it becomes a part of me. And he inspires somebody to share something in the Word of God of where, how that's right. That's the righteousness of God that he's working in us. Hallelujah. This is the judgment seat. I never really looked at judgment before like I look at it now. That I'm going through judgment right now. There's a measure of it, but more of it's coming. I'm welcoming it. Some men's sins go on beforehand to judgment. Others, they follow after them. I want my sins to go on beforehand to judgment. I want God to go ahead and judge me. Take me through judgment. Not that I want you to, you know, proclaim a sentence on me yet, but take me through. Judge the wrong things. Get them corrected in my life. And do whatever I've got to do to get them out of my life. That sounds right to me. It is right. God's working his judgment in our life. There's a scripture in the book of Acts. Let me read it to you right quick before we go home. I think it's in Acts 20, maybe 19 or 20. It's in 20. Where Paul was on Mars Hill and he was talking to those in Athens, Greece. Wait a minute. Is it in? It may be in the 19th. It is the 19th chapter. and it's. Just a minute. Let me get this in my mind. I'm wanting where he said, I'm sorry. It's in the 17th verse. Let me back up. It wasn't where, this is when, he was in Athens there in the 17th verse, and he was telling them about, he was using their inscription to the unknown God, and he was, he told them in verse 29, says, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, and he just used something that no doubt he had read that their poets had mentioned that they were offsprings of God, and so he used that. He said, then if we're the offspring of God, we are not, that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone or graven by art and man's device, and the times of this ignorance God winked at. But now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that in that he raised him from the dead. And he was just telling them, God winked it. Before now, God winked at a lot of things that men were doing. But now, God's requiring men everywhere to repent. Because he's appointed a day. He's appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man. And he gave us a witness of the resurrection of Christ, the power of God. And Jesus came and judged sin, judged wickedness. And there was a day, their day back there, the day of the Lord back there. Well, there's a day of judgment down here. We're going through judgment now, but there's even greater judgment coming when God's finally going to inaugurate the body of Christ and require men everywhere to repent. God, there's a judgment coming in this world that you and I have got in on early that the world don't know anything about. That's why we're here. Like Brother York said, we know that God loves us because he's working a work in our lives. And it's causing us to love him. That's what that song said that we sang this morning. Because he loved me. That's why I love him. I know he loves me. I feel he's working in me. He keeps dealing with me. He keeps working with me. He has so much patience with me. He's so long-suffering. He's so forgiving. His grace, I've never seen the end of it. I don't know if there's an end to God's grace. No, the end of it is perfection. God's grace will just keep working in you, working and working. Well, it'll either grind you to powder or you'll fall on the rock and be broken. Hallelujah. Oh, God, aren't you glad that you're still falling on the rock tonight? He's not just making powder out of you, but he's doing some good. He's causing a brokenness to work in our hearts. I felt that working here this morning. That was a precious service to me. My Lord, that blessed me. I got things out of that I'd like to say more about, but I'm not going to do it here tonight. Anyway, I'll stop talking about it for right now. Anyway, Brother Painter, when is the Godfrey Youth Meeting? It's not a general meeting, it's an area meeting, but we're so close to it, we could take advantage of it. February, Friday night. the 21st. Is it Friday and Saturday? And Saturday? All right. So, all right. All right. So, you and Sister Chelsea going to go? Take the youth if they want to go. And let me say something about that. Any time that there's a youth meeting, I think we've always announced it. I know the last one I know of, I announced it twice from this pulpit. All of our youth are always invited. We don't have to come to you special and tell you that. You ought to know that. If you're the youth in this church, we love you and you're invited to go to any youth meeting if we mention it. In fact, there hadn't been a youth meeting that I'm against yet. So, you know, anything that'll help our youth, I'm for it. And so we want you to know you are invited. And our youth are, some of them are planning on going. I really appreciate Brother and Sister Painter, Brother and Sister Stewart, Brother and Sister Boyd, Brother Fisher, and everyone that's cared enough about our youth to help them see to it that they could get to these meetings. I appreciate that. That shows they care about our youth. And so that's an area youth meeting, but if any of our youth can go and want to go, we'll let Brother Sister Fisher know. And they'll probably take the van, ma'am. They'll have to leave probably early Friday morning. Also, the Houston meeting's coming up, and I think there's already enough people wanting to go that Brother Painter, I think, is willing to take the van, church van. So if you want to go to the Houston meeting and you need a ride, we'll get your name in to Brother and Sister Painter so they can get you on the list for the van. If a van fills up, we'll try to do something else. We had to rent a van, fill two of them up to get you there. We'll do it. We'll do something. Be good for you. It's a general meeting in the body of Christ. God always blesses that meeting. And then we've got a meeting in March in the Dominican Republic. Pray for these meetings. Last night, Brother Elias Cipriano called me, and Michael and Cindy was over at the house, and he said, "Is Michael there?" He said, "I hear his voice." I said, "Yeah." He said, "I want to talk to him." So I don't know what he said to him, but I heard Michael. I know he probably asked him to come to the Dominican Republic, because I heard Michael tell him in Spanish that my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. And when he gave me the phone back, Brother Elias said, "Brother Smith, you need to tell Michael to work on his flesh." He said, "Tell him." He's been telling me quite a bit. "You need to send Brother Michael and Sister Cindy to the Dominican Republic." And he tells me that about many of you, sir, often. If you've been there, he wants you to come back, Brother Fisher. He's mentioned you and different ones that's been there before. He always asked about you. And then he wants to know about everybody else. When are they coming? So him and Brother Green, of course, they love y'all. But pray for these meetings and then try to be in as many of them as you can. We're living in a day that it's just not easy to be in every meeting, but I think you ought to try to make some meetings. Put it aside. God, your money will be well spent, better than any other vacation you can take. To go feed your soul, it'll do something for your vision in the body of Christ. To make a meeting. Or to plan on making one every year, anyhow. Not more than one, if you can. Anyway, then this coming Friday night, we're going to try to do a few things to help the youth to raise money so that they can pay for going to some of these meetings and help them on their gas and whatnot. So we're going to have a chili dinner Friday night at 7 o'clock here at the church, and a game night. So have some fellowship, fun together. Seem like somebody, what do you get for your money? Chili, we're having chili dinner, chili Frito pie, or what else, Sister Sharon? Hot dogs with chili dogs, chili, $6 a plate. How's that sound? Where can you go? McDonald's won't feed you that cheap. But this will help the youth fund. And then game night. We ain't going to charge anything to play games. Somebody said something about it. Recreation today. What they said something about entertained. Sister Crow was talking about we didn't come here to get entertained, but there is some good and fun coming. Well, I think I'd just soon be having game night with you than sitting home with Law and Order or something like that. I ain't interested in who killed what or whoever it was that they throwed in the prison, and I done forgot about all their names and what it's all about anyway. It didn't mean nothing to me. But I'll remember something that me and you did together and having some fun. I still remember when us men had to find our women's shoes out of that pile. And some of the games that we played. I remember that. Those are good times, good memories. So, anyway, 7 o'clock Friday night, there'll be 5 days away, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at 7 o'clock. Chili dinner, $6 chili dinner for the youth. And then we'll get them to turn the ice cream machine on. You can have ice creams $1 a bowl, all you can eat. Eat, just keep going back and eat till you're just bubbling over with it. Freeze up. Yeah, I can't eat that much of it, I don't think. But it's good, isn't it? I'm glad we've got an ice cream machine. Praise God. God let us have an ice cream machine. Who does? Oh, yeah, I like ice cream. All right, let's stand and give God a praise. Hallelujah. Thank God for His goodness. Good touches we felt here today. We may come in here before long, get such a touch we can't get out of here. We have to carry us out. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Your blessings, oh God. Your mercy and your grace. Hallelujah.